All right, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
All right, first of all, I would like to thank Pastor for this opportunity to be part of the Titus program, for me to grow as a Christian and to be well-equipped in studying the Word. And this is one of the things that I've been desiring the most. I've been backslid for a very long time. So this is things that I prayed for the Lord. This is where He wants me to be. And first of all, to God be the glory. But yeah, let's get this started. Let's open our Bibles in the book of Philippians, chapter 4. So if you remember, my first lesson is also in the book of Philippians. So I thought to myself, since I already started teaching the book of Philippians, might as well go through it. All right, so... But instead of going forward from verse 10 to 14, we're going to go kind of back. Well, we'll go start with the chapter in chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. So I'm going to go ahead and read that. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful morning that have given us. I pray that you continue to bless me and guide me, Lord, as I present your word. May your truth be expounded this morning, Lord. And also pray that you also bless and guide Brother Cisco as he stands in this pulpit, Lord. We thank you again for this opportunity and help us grow as Christians, Lord, and be more fruitful, Lord, in our lives, Lord, as we live a godly life, Lord. And all these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So just a brief introduction to the book of Philippians. Paul sent this letter to the church at Philippi while he was in prison. If we still remember from my previous lesson, if you check the verse 14 in the same chapter, the Philippian church has done well and partake in Paul's affliction while he's in prison. I'm going to go ahead and read it here from verse 14 to 16. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. So they were able to do this by sending Epaphroditus. Let's turn on to chapter 2, verse 25. I'll go ahead and start reading verse 24 to 27. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that he had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. So in verse 25, we can see Epaphroditus' character. Paul called him as a brother, a companion in labor, and a fellow soldier. And at the same time, he also longed to see the brethren at Philippi, which we read on verse 24 and 26. And yes, he was nigh unto death. And when Epaphroditus came back, he came back with this letter. Now we go back to our verses. If we go ahead and verse 1, we can see how he regarded the church. We can see here, he called them, my brethren, my dearly beloved. He called them dearly beloved twice. Sounds like John the Beloved here. After that one, just like what I mentioned earlier in chapter 2, he said he longed for them, or he yearned. He wanted to see them as soon as, like, just like Epaphroditus. And the word, and the next one here, it's he called them my joy and crown. So the word joy here from the Greek word chara, I don't know if I pronounced it right, it means cheerfulness. It also came from the same word rejoice in verse 4, which has the same meaning, to be cheerful or full of joy. Then the next one is my joy and crown, the Greek word stephanos, that's crown. But on this one, it means like a chaplet based on Strong's Hebrew and Greek dictionary. It says a chaplet is kind of like a badge of royalty or a prize in public games or a symbol of honor generally. But it's more conspicuous and elaborate than a simple crown or a simple diadem. It's kind of like those things when in the ancient times when athletes won something in a competition. That's what they wear. Right now, today we have trophies or we have cups. You can see how Paul regards them. Like, he looks high upon. He has high praises for the church. Just like I remember back in Las Vegas, you know I love to play basketball. Even you used to play in a basketball league, and for the first time, you won the championship. Of course, you're happy, you're rejoicing. They give you your trophy, individual trophy, and the team's trophy. And I remember I sent a picture to my brother. I don't really post so much on social media, but, you know, just to brag on him and all. So what he did, he posted that picture in Facebook with a caption, MVP. But it's not MVP, most valuable player. He put MBP, which means most bench player. Now, he's just being a hater. But I'm like, you know what? We just won. I'm ecstatic. You just hate there. You're in the middle of New Mexico. Yeah, don't worry about it. Anyway. Just like how an athlete, when after they won everything, the championship, how you persevere, won everything, that's how Paul looks at the church. And also he has a command to them. He told them to stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast here means to be stationary, to persevere. Like, don't move an inch. Because Paul knew there's some, just like in a Christian life, the devil has an attempt to move us out, to help to have us compromise. As we can see here on the previous chapter and the previous verses, let's go and read that, verse 15 to 19. I'm going to go ahead and read it. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, were to have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together with me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an example. For many walk, this is what Paul was warning about, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is their is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their name, who mind earthly things. So Paul warns them about these brethren that creeps around the congregation. And as a church, we must also be warned and also self-examine, are we really saved? It's like here in the verse 3 that we're going to read later, is our name really in the book of life? So anyway, so it looks like a very good church, like no issues or whatsoever if you compare it to other churches in the Bible, like the Corinthian church. But just like any other church, it's a church full of sinners. We have a wicked heart. Churches have issues. Just like our church, we have issues as well. And we can see here in verse 2, Paul says, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. So beseech the... Paul was asking, asked in prayer or with urgency or ask or a plea between these two women. Now, it's not clear here what they were fighting about or what conflict they have. It could be about a family issue, church issue, work issue, anything. It could be they had trouble when they had issue on how much gift or money they're going to send to Paul in prison. We don't know. Your guess is as good as mine. But either way, What Paul wants us to do, Paul wants them to do, is to be the same mind in the Lord. Just like what he commanded the church to stand fast in the Lord, now he wants them to have the same mind in the Lord. And in the next verse, Paul asks here, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. So the true yoke fellow here wasn't mentioned his name, but I asked pastor about it. He said it's most likely be Epaphroditus, and he is also the pastor of this church. And not only them, for them to reconcile or to be in harmony again, he also asked them to help the others, Clement and all the other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Now, conflict happens in the church and among Christians. A good example here is the Church of Corinth. If you read, but before that, the main theme of the book of Philippians is rejoicing. But if you go and to read the first chapter of the First Corinthians, after the first verses were with Paul's introduction and thanksgiving and all, once you hit verse 10, that's where the problem starts. Like, there's division among you. There's immorality among you. And then the way you practice the Lord's Supper, it's not the right way. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. You see a big contrast here. You see how Paul praises the Philippian church. Now here's what he talks about the church in Corinth with regards to the Lord's Supper. He says, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for better but for the worse." So, any other church, like what I mentioned earlier, there's some troubles and issue. And same with Philippians and the church in Corinth. But whatever issue we may be, we have to learn how to reconcile. We have guidelines in the Bible. We have Matthew 18 in how to deal with this stuff. And with that being said, let's go back to our verse. And I'm going to read the theme of the whole book. Chapter 4, verse 4. What do you say? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. The word rejoice here was mentioned 8 times in the book. Let's see some of the examples here. Let's go and check verse 10. It says here, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again." That's the time when they send those gifts. "Wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity." Now we check on the previous chapter, chapter 3, verse 1. It also says here, "Finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe." And the word rejoice here, from the Greek word kairo, yes, like what I mentioned earlier, it means of cheer. And when do we need to rejoice? It says always. It means always. That means all the time. Even during challenges in our lives, in conflict within church or whatever. I know conflicts within the church, they have to be solved, but any time of the day, 24/7, Monday to Friday, we still know how to. We still need to rejoice in the Lord. If we look back in the previous verse, when Paul says, "Whose names are in the book of life," this means these are Christians. They are saved Christians. Their name is not blotted out. Amen. So we have to live in harmony. Yeah. And at this, and we all know that we are Christian life. The devil will always be after us. It's like how the wickedness crept upon the church in Corinth. Same thing with any other churches. But we still need to rejoice. And also, I was checking how many times this word always was used in the Bible, I stumbled upon this verse. Let's go to Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. I think I have 5 minutes. All right, let's see here, where also the word always was used by Paul. It says here, Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." Now we all know, I told pastor, but I'm not going to, there's an outburst a few weeks ago for everyone who were here, but I'm not going to preach on it, but I want to commend the men, how they acted or how they spoke during that time and during that meeting. They spoke with grace. Because they know, they know they back then it's wise, they think it's wise for them to answer, when to answer and what to say. Because we all know, well, some of them are very forthright. I'm not. I have high blood pressure though. If you say something bad, I might tell that person, brother, you don't bring me joy. But it didn't happen. Thank the Lord. But it's commendable how even with our gifts and all, how our character would be. And as Christians, we should know how to answer in every man, in every situation. Well, unfortunately, it happened, but we still need to rejoice in the Lord, brethren. Amen. Anyway, in conclusion, despite what Paul has been going through, which is ironic, he is in prison, asked them to be rejoicing, and how he rejoiced in the church. Let us therefore stand fast in the Lord and be of the same mind in the Lord and rejoice in the Lord. And finally, just like how Paul commends the church and how the church brings joy to Paul as an assembly, they will also bring joy to our pastor. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning that you have given us. Thank you for this truth that you have expounded today. Thank you for helping me teach in, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you continue to bless us, Lord, this whole assembly, Lord, and our services for the whole day. And all these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.